Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to Deep Dish Radio. I'm Tim Powers, and this is my show. Hey, my guest today is Phil Proctor, who was a member of the Firesign Theater, the comedy troupe that formed in the 70s and created a ton of great comedy albums and some radio programs and some films, including Phil is responsible for J-Men Forever, one of my favorite films that we talk about later in the interview. I encourage you to look up J-Men Forever. Trust me, it's just a funny thing. Well, Phil is back on the show because the book that he has written, his memoir, is called Where's My Fortune Cookie, which he wrote with my very good friend Brad Schreiber, available wherever you get your books, is now available in a new form, a podcast that Phil has made available through his own means, and we get into that. It is, you know, if a guy like Phil Proctor puts together a book, you're going to expect that it has an audio element. And as entertaining and as crazy as the book is, hearing Phil tell his own story mixed in an oh-so-fire sign way is really the best way to hear the story. I encourage you to purchase the book because Phil and Brad did a phenomenal job on it. But I also encourage you to check out this podcast that Phil Proctor and I talk about in just a moment. If you enjoyed Deep Dish Radio, I encourage you to forward links to your friends, and I encourage you to leave a nice review on iTunes, because that will help other people find me, and maybe, just maybe, you could be the start of a trend. You're a trendsetter by listening to what Deep Dish Radio and my new venture, the Coral Quartz Radio Hour, presented by Deep Dish Radio, is all about. So, if you dig it, tell a friend. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my friend, Phil Proctor. Well, Phil, the last time you and I spoke, we were talking about your fantastic book, Where's My Fortune Cookie, your memoirs. And since then, you've been lauded literally all over the world. And you've bounced around all over the globe since you and I spoke last. But your most recent project is really, really interesting to me and to listeners of this show, because it's a podcast. And you are now releasing your own podcast through the good people at Podbean. Tell us about that.
That's right. It's called the Proctor Podcast, and it's available on podbean.com, which apparently is a connection to all kinds of other platforms to launch the event, and it is my own personal reading of my book, Where's My Fortune Cookie, which, as I read it in a wonderful studio in Brooklyn, which was engineered by David Shin and produced by my other dear longtime friend, Sue Zizza, was an opportunity to kind of update the book and correct certain mistakes that were in it. Because for anybody who's ever written a book, especially an autobiography, because in this case it was co-authored by my friend Brad Schreiber, there are inevitably mistakes that are going to be released. Because at a certain point, you say, I got to get this book out there. And even though you've had copy editors looking at it and fixing things or whatever, there are still bound to be certain factual errors that occur in the book. And because I was forced to read it out loud, I also was forced to say, oh, wait a minute, this isn't really correct. Let me fix it. So that anybody who subscribes to the podcast at podbean.com, where's my fortune cookie, is going to hear the real story. And if you then buy a copy of the book at amazon.com, you can make corrections in your own handwriting on the book if you want to, because that's really a wonderful, it's almost like a secret code, you know, the Captain Midnight Ovaltine mug, or the Annie Oakley, no.
Little Orphan Annie, the decoder ring, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, dit-dit.304-555-666, you know, and you can, as was so well expressed in Gene Shepard's stories, it would say, buy more Ovaltine or something.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the corrections I made do not say buy more Ovaltine. They say, this is the real story. So you might enjoy that, Tim.
I'll set it up so that if you buy a copy of Where's My Fortune Cookie through the Deep Dish website, which has a link to Amazon, then I'll also bundle in a red Fleer felt tip pen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and if anybody wants an autographed copy, they can connect with me at planetproctor.com or my own personal email, phil.proctor@mac.com or me.com. And I have sent many people autographed copies because they've sent me their book with a return envelope of some sort. And I've been very proud to write a personal autograph to them and send it back to them.
That's fantastic. Well, then we'd be glad to make that happen. And I'm sure the folks who, the hundreds of thousands of people who bought your book as a result of Deep Dish Radio will include that when they send their copy of that book to you. Now,
don't wish.
Given your career and your background, I'm certain, having not heard a moment of this yet, that it is a dramatic reading and we can hear some Proctor voices.
Yes, yes. And one of the reasons why I contracted to do this with Sue Zizza, who was one of the driving forces behind the Hear Now Audio Festival in Kansas City, Missouri, which I just returned from with my wife, Melinda Peterson, where we had an opportunity to perform in several unique and special audio presentations, as well as a keynote presentation of David Osman and me doing our reading of The Art of Radio, which we will be touring apparently with, and we will be appearing apparently in the future here in Los Angeles and other places, which I will let you know about. Anyway, Sue approached me to do an audiobook of my fortune cookie.
Right.
And I said, great, but it has to be more than just a reading of the book. It has to be dramatized, it has to have sound effects and music, and it has to have drop-ins from Firesign Theater Records and Procter & Bergman Records. And she said, absolutely, that's what I want to do. And that's why I committed to do the project. So about 4 months ago, I flew back to Brooklyn, New York, and we recorded the podcast, which will then be cut together into an audio release sometime in September. And it will be different from the other audiobooks that you may have become accustomed to.
And that's exactly what we would expect. I mean, if Phil Proctor was going to do an audiobook about anything, we would expect it to be a true blue audiobook instead of, you know, as much as we love your voice and as much as we love you speaking, we'd expect some frills. We'd expect some production value.
Yeah, there were many awards given out at the Here Now Festival last week in Kansas City. And basically, the narration people who do these things are restricted by the limitations of the audiobook producers, who want basically to have the book read, almost like books for the blind. They want to have them read dramatically and intensively by these very talented people who do this kind of work. But basically, they don't want to have to be responsible for production values to make it, into any kind of a audio experience.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, it is what it is. And the people who do it, many of whom are friends of mine and whom I had a chance to rub shoulders with in Kansas City at the award presentation, were very happy to receive their awards. And I was happy to share, celebration with them. But we did want to do something different. And there are people out there like Jeff Hayes, who I got to meet, who's a Kansas City native, who produces his own audiobooks with, fully produced fervor, sound effects and overlapping and different characters and everything. And I applaud that because I think that is really, it enhances the experience of the audiobook listener, even though a good narrator can definitely involve you in the story and carry you through the experience without an automobile accident. Right?
Oh, right. Right.
So many people are listening to these wonderful things either in their car or while they're jogging or while they're, scootering or something. In fact, my daughter, Kristen, just recently brushed some guy on a scooter or a bike or something here in Los Angeles, California, while he was listening to something, music or an audiobook or whatever, and had earbuds in his ear while he was navigating traffic. Now, I do not recommend that.
No.
It's kind of like texting and driving, right? I applaud him for supporting audio theater, but I also decry the fact that he was then not aware of the cars around him and almost, lost his life. So you really have to be aware of these things if you're going to enjoy the benefits of our work.
Well, and what's particularly interesting about this is it's, with a memoir, and I've listened to some audio memoirs. As much as I love the people who wrote them, and some of them have become friends of mine, it's a monologue. Sometimes it's a 2 and 3 hour monologue. Whereas, with all due respect, when Phil Proctor is going to record something, there are some very high expectations that go along with that.
Yes, I know. High expectations. That doesn't mean that you have to get stoned to listen to it. But I'm not saying that that wouldn't help if you have a medical marijuana, prescription from your doctor. Remember, everything that I was involved in with the Firesign Theater, which kind of, intertwined with my career as a regular actor on Broadway and off-Broadway and in television shows, and cartoons later, doing voices for things like the Rugrats, where I'm best known for Howard to most of the people in the world,
Yeah.
At the same time, when I sat down with my three partners, Phil Austin, David Osman, and Peter Bergman, to do the Firesign Theater, we were often weed-infused in our writing sessions.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay.
You heard it here first, folks. Breaking news. The Fire Sign Theater was high once in a while.
I think it's like broken news, Tim, actually. But the fact is that we were children of the 60s and the early 70s. And we were really we did our work at an amazing time in our cultural history in this country. And as everybody knows, because 1968 has been recently celebrated on television and in other forums, there were so many both dangerous and terrible and wonderful things going down at that time. And there was indeed a youth revolution happening where we all kind of felt, regardless of what our backgrounds were, whether we came from Yale, Ivy League background like I did, or other, colleges or high schools, or no education at all, the young people were basically enjoying a revolution of spiritual possibilities and new kinds of sexual adventures and social interactions and everything, which we hoped would displace the old gray-haired people who were running our country and would lead to a kind of a new evolution of political and social manifestations in our country. Well, it didn't happen. It really didn't happen. And we had to admit that at a certain point. But at least we made the effort, and many of us have continued to be jesters to the court that exists, creating satirical comedy. And I must say that if you turn on your late-night television shows, all of those crazy people out there talking about, the present administration and what's going on, carry on the Fire Sign Theater satirical tradition in the modern world. And I'm proud to be part of it.
It brings an interesting question, and I think we touched a little bit on this the last time we spoke, but you talk about the Fire Sign tradition. What's your take on contemporary 21st century satire?
Well, I think that, of course, it's been limited and restricted by the growing awareness of the celebration of the diversity of our society, which is a good thing. But on the other hand, the fact that people have become so sensitive to the satirical representation of the minorities who make up and who will soon make up the majority of our civilization, that people are overly sensitive to our acknowledgement of their contribution to our society. And the fact that, people find it difficult to do dialects about people. It is difficult, for instance, to speak in, an Indian dialect if you are not, really Indian, or, Asian dialect if you're not really Asian, or Russian dialect if you're not really Russian. But the fact is that those of us who have that talent are praising and acknowledging the power and progression of the effect of people of different ethnicities on our country. And it goes the same with sexual realities, women and men and those of other designations who decide to that they who understand that they may come from a different place in their sexual identity. All of these things are revolutionary in their way in our 21st century, and they need to be acknowledged and they need to be loved. But at the same time, you have to understand that comedians and satirists who embrace this understanding should be free to also express that reality in comedy. And that's one thing which has not been respected, in my opinion.
No, especially in I suppose, for lack of a better term, what's commercially available comedy. Your stage comedy, sometimes your local improv theaters or your Upright Citizens Brigade or the stage sketch movement that's really taken off in New York and L.A. and Chicago still carries a lot of the traditional satire elements, but what you would get across your very narrow casted 167 channels of television. Maybe the point you're trying to make is it has to be watered down in respect to the sensitivities of the audience.
You're stuttering, and I'll tell you why.
Okay,
what basically is what we're being asked to do now is to allow people of those real ethnicities to express themselves comedically, and I totally embrace that. Right.
Absolutely.
And that happening. But what has happened that is, I think, not correct is that people have become too sensitive to the fact that comedians acknowledge that reality and embrace that reality and want to, you know, in our own ways, promote that reality. That's all I'm saying.
Ah,
you know.
Okay.
Got it?
Yes. Very, very clear. And you know, you go back through the history of American satire from, you know, even the Marx Brothers, where, you know, Duck Soup is even today prescient for what it has to say. Or
yeah.
there's a film, I'm sure you've seen Diplomaniacs, the Wheeler and Woolsey film from RKO, which was
absolutely
done about the...
Sure.
Okay. It ends... with, I showed it to a friend of mine recently who had never seen it, and it ends with an old-time minstrel show.
Yes, of course.
And
I know. Bizarre is that. But when you think about the Marx Brothers, you remember one of them is pretending to be an Italian.
That's right.
These are four Jewish kids,
yep,
you know, brothers who got together to do this, and one of them, of course, is playing in the Italian character. The other one is mute. You know, so we don't want to make fun of mutes,
right,
do we? Right.
Nope.
You know, and Groucho is definitely a Jewish comedian from that wonderful tradition of Jewish comedy. So, you know, come on. It's all about the time and the influences on the society of the immigrants at the time who colored and created comedy in the culture that people were immersed in at that particular time, and it was celebrated.
Right.
Okay. So we should celebrate it. We shouldn't be, you know, so sensitive about it, because comedy is really about a celebration of differences. That's what makes things funny. Most of the early comedy in vaudeville was a city slicker who was trying to.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
To outwit a new immigrant from some other country.
Right.
And invariably in the skits that were created then, the immigrant would pull the wool over the eyes of the city slicker. So it was a reversal. Even Abbott and Costello, even though they're not ethnic in their comedy, it's quite clear that Costello comes from an Italian background, and Abbott is like a city slicker. You know, he's a guy who's trying to con his partner all the time. It's a classic vaudeville take, and it's as funny now as it ever was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've built a very strong your theater career, absolutely, but your voiceover career has obviously been huge. And one of the things that has gotten you a lot of work is your ability to do dialect.
That is correct. Yes, you are absolutely right. C'est vrai, monsieur. And also, you know, to be able to speak in many languages. Io posso parlare italiano anche. Говорю по-русски свободно, и je parle français couramment, puedo parler español también puedo hablar. So, you know, I was born, which you will learn if you buy my book, Where's My Fortune Cookie, where I talk about my Irish and Amish ancestry,
right.
My upbringing in Goshen, Indiana. I was born with this ability to hear music and repeat it, and also from that to be able to mimic dialects and languages, and it's a great gift from God, and I've honored it all my life, and it's not over yet, by the way. And it has led, you know, it helped to color and direct my career over 60 years. I've been in what we call the show business for 60 years plus, because I started as a child actor on a live television show called Uncle Danny Reads the Funnies on WPIX-TV in New York City, where there was no script. We basically improvised to the reading of comic strips that were printed in the Daily News. And that training, that early training, or that early opportunity for me to kind of have fun on television was basically something that I've never stopped doing, and I still am able to do it in various other forms, work on television shows and animated features and Disney features and Pixar features and all of that. So it was a great gift that I was able to embrace thanks to my loving parents and the people around me. And it has, as you'll see in the book, Where's My Fortune Cookie, available at Amazon.com, you'll see how it led me both spiritually and psychically to the point where I am at today.
And if you want to get a good taste of the book, then if you want to get a good taste of what it's like to read the book, then we're going to direct you over to the new podcast at podbean.com, where you can subscribe to Where's My Fortune Cookie, the podcast.
And actually, Tim, as you know, the very first chapter is about how I and my partner Peter Bergman, half the wits of the Firesign Theater, survived a mass shooting at the Golden Dragon Restaurant in San Francisco in 1977, where 5 people were killed and 11 people were wounded, which was at that time the worst mass shooting in American history. Hello, all right? And the point of the book is that event was psychically predicted to me by a friend of mine named Sharon. And the story of that event is how the book kicks off. And then from there on, you're on a pretty wild ride, which I hope you will enjoy and subscribe to.
Well, I've read the book. I enjoyed it. I don't endorse many, many things, but I'm going to endorse, Phil Proctor's book. Pick it up. And as you go through it, as you go through the book, as you go through the podcast, keep in mind that the fortune cookie plays through the narrative and comes back many, many, many times. I don't want to give it away, but there's a story right at the end of the book that just makes you go, oh, that doesn't happen to everybody, but it happens to Phil. And those are the kinds of stories that you're going to want to hear. And if you're a big fan of podcasts, if you're a big fan of Firesign, if you're a big fan of audio theater, and if you're not, why are you listening to this show? You need to check it out because it's at podbean.com, and you should check it out right away. Anything else we need to know about Podbean and how they can subscribe or what's involved?
Well, listen, you can find out what I'm up to if you go to planetproctor.com, planetproctor.com. And if you want to purchase Firesign Theater material and see what we're up to, we're at firesigntheater.com. Now, the one thing that is exciting in Fireside Theater's life is that the Library of Congress, which had previously inducted one of our most famous albums, Don't Crush That Dwarf, Hand Me the Pliers, into the historical, or should I say hysterical recordings, just purchased our archives for $500,000.
Wow. Wow.
So be there or be square. That's all I can say.
There you go. That's where it's at. Fireside Theater material is available from the Fireside Theater website, from Planet Proctor. Get to Planet Proctor right away and keep up to date with the million things that Phil is always involved in. But most importantly, today, get that book, get that podcast. Phil, it's always a pleasure, my friend. We look forward to keeping up with your travels and your adventures, and use us anytime you'd like. Oh, can I plug one more thing that you haven't even mentioned yet?
Here's what?
Night Flight is back on the air. Look for it on the IFC Night channel. Star. And in fact, the very first airing had clips of Procter & Bergman's J-Men Forever.
J-Men Forever, where we overdubbed a whole bunch of cliffhanger serials. And it's become a cult favorite, which is wonderful. Still fun to watch, and I can remember it was still fun to do. So please watch that if you can.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Phil. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.